Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Kedushin Daf Mem Hei. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to Option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will begin 9 lines from the top of Daf Mem Hei. On the side of the Gemara, you'll notice we have a Nosei, a topic heading. We pointed out, by the way, in our previous shiur that we were going to be dealing till Daf Mem Vav with the issue of a minor, a ketana, that married herself without her father's knowledge, without her father's instruction. On the side, we have a topic heading that reads Echot Shekidesh Shalolada Sovia Umeis Blibonim, a case where a man married a minor girl without her father's knowledge. He then died, leaving no children. Viesh Ach Yovam, he has a surviving brother. Ketzed Yase, what is now to be done? I want to emphasize that in order to fully appreciate some of the points that we're going to be dealing with shortly, the previous shiur, the shiur for Daf Mem Dalid, is of essential importance. I'm going to be assuming that we're all familiar with the material, with the learning of Daf Mem Dalid, in order for us to be able to save time in not having to repeat many of the ideas that we were exposed to in our previous year. So we now turn to the Gemara text. Itmar, Meis, a man that married a girl, a minor, without her father's knowledge. V'nofla lifnei ochiv libum, and upon his death, having left no children, so she now appears in front of his brother as a Yevoma. Naturally, Yibum is a reality, is a halachic imperative when there was a regular marriage and the man died, leaving an adult widow, and she has to either marry him as a Yevoma or Chalitza is done. Here, however, we're dealing with the situation of a fictitious type marriage. Namely, the little girl, the minor, married herself off without her father's guidance, without her father's approval, without her father being involved. And as we saw in our previous shiur, there is the general attitude that it's not a real marriage. We had a couple of different approaches, and we're going to be touching on those approaches now in this context as well. That's why I want to emphasize again, I want to re-emphasize that we're continuing with the ideas that we had seen in our previous year. How do we look at this kind of marriage? Aktano, shikisho, esatzmo, shelo ledasovio. So we now have her in a yibum situation. Oma ravhuna, oma rav. Mimaenis lima'amoro. Notice that's category 1. Category 2, vi'eino mimaenis lezikoso. That means that mi'un will be required if the yovam had given her money. Ma'amoro is the kiddushe kesef of a rabbinic nature, a point we've discussed often in the last couple of dapim, given to a Yevoma. So if the Yovam had given her money, then she has to express miyun, and Rashi adds, importantly, miyun together with the get that she is expected to receive. That get that we just referred to was the subject of our previous shir, the shir from Daf Mem Dalet. Why is there a get? So we'll just repeat it from our previous shir, because though the marriage took place without her father's awareness, maybe he later approved of it. Shemen Nisratzo Av. So if the Yovam had given her money, then in addition to the get that a Ktana Shekicha Atzma Shelot Asaviya is required, she also does miyun. V'eino memenes lezikoso means that if there was no money given, then there is no requirement for the miyun. Let's take a look at Rashi. Mema'enes l'ma'amoro, Rashi more or less across from here. Tzricha miyun im get hamutal aleha im also v'maimer. If that yavam had given her money, so a get is expected, and in addition to that, she has to express the miyun, the refusal of remaining with him. Also a get matzricha lios imo miyun. The fact that a get is given, miyun is also required, and this was, of course, the central point of our previous sugya from Daf Mem Dalet. V'eino me'mayines lezikaso, Rashi continues, avol imlo also ba'maymer, if that surviving brother, her brother-in-law, so to speak, if he didn't give her money, di'ein ole'al get, in a case where no money was given, so there's no need for the divorce. There's no need for a get. Elo chalitza lezikoso. What is necessary is the shoe removal ceremony. The shoe removal ceremony, which breaks apart the yibum bond. So oisa chalitza eino zekikoso liois mimayenis ima chalitza. Though chalitza is done, the need for miyun is unnecessary. Just to briefly review, but again, basing ourselves on our previous shiur, the miyun serves as a type of antidote to the get. The get, we say, is necessary because of the possible, let's say, formation of a marriage. However, on the tzad, on the side of analysis that there really is no marriage, we need to show that by having the miyun. What we're afraid of is the situation of the yavam, let us say, marrying her, the yavama's sister. Would there be tfisas kiddushin? Would kiddushin take hold? If we leave the situation with the yavam merely giving the Yavoma a get, people will think that she's truly divorced, and therefore there would be no Tfisas Kiddushin, no Kiddushin would take hold if the Yavam would then marry her sister. And that's not the impression that we want to create. So in order to show that if the Yavam were to marry her sister, Kiddushin could take hold, we do that by having miyun. But that, as Rav just said, is necessary. The miyun is necessary only if the Yavam gave her money. But if the Yavam didn't give her money, all that happened was chalitza, there is no need for the miyun to serve as a demonstration that there was no real bond. The Gemara will elaborate on that point. Ketzad. Now, in light of Rav's statement, he made two points. He said, "Memamenes lemamoro v'eino memenes lezikaso." So the Gemara goes over these points. Ketzad. Also, ba maimer. Here we have again. We've repeated the in our numberings. You see the one encircled. So if the Yovel did Maimer, Tzricha Get, Utzricha Chalitza, Utzricha Miyun. We have a bracketed section. Within the brackets, this three-pronged point will be explained. But skip the brackets momentarily. Lo Asaba Maimer, that's, you notice the number 2, the Roman number 2, it's encircled. So Lo Asaba Maimer, that's the second point that Rav made. If no Maimer was done, then Einot Tzricha Elo Chalitza Bilvad. The only thing that would be necessary is the shoe removal ceremony to break the possible Yibum bond. How would there, by the way, be a Yibum bond if the father happened to approve the girl's, his daughter's marriage to the first guy, to the deceased? If the father, even though when the Kiddushin took place, the father was not aware of it, but if he subsequently approved of it, that would cause the first marriage to have substance. And if that's the case, upon the death of the first husband, she becomes a Yevoma. In order to undo the Yibum bond, we would have to have Chalitza. But that's all. You'll ask, shouldn't we have Miyun also? That Gemara will deal with that. We skipped a few lines, now let's go over them. We said that if the Yavam had given her money, the again, we're dealing with the minor that had married his brother without the father, without her father's knowledge, and then that surviving brother, after the fellow that she married died, the surviving brother gives her money, that's Maimer. So we said three things are necessary. Now we go over the brackets. Tzricha get. A get is necessary. Why? Shemo nisratzoav v'kidushi sheni. Maybe the father was in approval of the marriage to the second fellow. The second fellow who gave her money. Remember, he gave her Maimer. So maybe the father is in approval of that. If he is in approval of that, and she is to leave that fellow, she'll need a full-fledged get. That get breaks a marital bond. Tzricha chalitza. Chalitza is a necessity. Shemun is ratzav v'kidushe rishon. Maybe the father was in approval of the first marriage. And if he was, so upon the first husband's death, she becomes bound to his surviving brother. To break that bond, the Yibum bond, chalitza is necessary, whereby she would remove a shoe from the Yavam's foot. Tzricha miyun. Miyun is a necessity. Shema lo nisratze ho'av lo b'kidushi rishon v'lo b'kidushi sheni. Maybe the father didn't approve of either one of the marriages. The purpose of the miyun is to show, is to demonstrate the, we'll say, the possibility of tfisas kedushin, of kedushin taking hold with regard to her sister. The miyun, as we said in our previous shiur, is an institution entitling a minor who is not really married on a Torah level to remove herself, to declare her unwillingness to continue with her non-Torah marriage. And when miyun is declared, when she says, I don't want to continue with him, that shows that she was never married to him. And by showing that she was never married, that leaves room then for her sister to become married, if she should so desire, to one of these men, to either the first one, but he's dead in this case, so the sister would be able to marry the second one, the Yavam. Without the miyun, we would have, and the Gemara explains, let's read another few words of Gemara. We say tzricha miyun, let's read again, shema loy nisratzav lo b'kidushi rishon v'lo b'kidushi sheni. Her father, maybe he didn't approve of either her marriage to the first fellow, who's now deceased, nor her marriage to the Yavam who gave her Mimer money. And if we would see just the get, the Yomru, people will say, Ein Kiddushin Tefsin Bachosa, that Kiddushin, marriage, doesn't take hold with regard to her sister. If her sister were to marry this Yavam, in the eyes of the public, she, the sister, would be called Grushas, she would be called Achois Grushoso, the sister of the Yavam's Grusha, because the Yavam gave her a get, gave her sister, the minor, a get. And people would think that that was a real get. The sister is called Achos Grushoso, the sister of his divorcee. And marriage doesn't take hold. And if they would, let's say, get together in a marriage sense, people would say they could split without a get. And that would not be good. That would not be true. So how do we show that there is Tfisas Kiddushin with regard to her sister and the Yavam? By requiring the minor, the Yavama in this case, to express Miyun. By doing Miyun, it shows the public that there isn't any real marriage between the minor and the Yavam. So we've explained why each one of these instruments is necessary. The get, the chalitza, and the miyun. We continue in the Gemara. Lo asavo maimer. Let us say the Yavam did not offer the minor any money. All that happened is the first husband, the one who married her, the minor, Shelo Midasovia, he died. No children. He had a brother. Brother didn't give her any money. So our Gemara says in Laws of Bomaimer, Eino Tzricha Elo Chalitza Bovad. The only thing that's required is the shoe removal ceremony. Why? Maybe the father had approved of the first one's marriage to her, or her marriage to him. And if the father approved her marriage, his daughter's marriage to the first guy, upon his death, a Yibum bond is formed. And in order to break that, in order to allow her, to free her from that bond, Chalitza is necessary. My Amris, what might you think to say to add Tiboy Nami Miyun? Let us require Miyun as well. Why would you think that we should require Miyun? Shemo Yomru, without the Miyun, people might say, Ein Kiddushin Toifsin Bachosa. There would be no taking hold of marriage between her sister and the Yavam. Based on what? They would think, they would view her sister as Achos Chalutzoso, the sister of the one who with whom he had done Chalitza. The sister of the minor, the minor with whom he had done chalitza, and with that thinking, people will with that viewing of the sister, her adult sister, as achos chalutzaso. So, without the miyun, people will think that there's no tfisas kiddushin. Therefore, we have the miyun to show that there would be tfisas kiddushin. Well, you don't need the miyun. Hakol yoidim, everyone knows. This, before we go further, just to repeat the main point. What's the purpose of the miyun? To show that there would be tfisas kiddushin. Kiddushin would take hold between the Yavam and her sister. Do I need the miyun for that? Hakol yoidim achos chalutza derabbanan. Everyone knows that the prohibition of marrying the sister of the chalutza is a rabbinic prohibition, in contrast to the sister of one who was divorced. That's a Torah level prohibition. But the sister of one who was participant in chalitza, she is prohibited to the yavam rabbinically. D'yomrei Shlokish, Kan Shona Rebbe, over here Rebbe taught Achos grusha midoraisa, achos chalutza midivrei soifrim. The sister of one who you divorced, so she, the sister, is prohibited on a Torah level. The sister of the one with whom you did chalitza, she's also, she's prohibited only on a rabbinic level. Being that that's the case, if the Yavam would marry the sister, people will know, even without the miun, that there is tfisas kiddushim. Because when we speak about something being a relationship being prohibited on a rabbinic level, part and parcel of that is that on a Torah level, there is tfisas kiddushim. So I don't need the miun to accentuate that point. So just to go over the piece of Gemara that we've done from the beginning of today's shiur, the structure is, it's important to see the structure. We opened up with Itmar, the Gemara said, Meis v'nofle v'yofnei ochiv li'ibum. Rav Huna Marav said 2 points. He said, Ma'minus l'mar moro, which meant if Mimer was done, then Miun is necessary. V'eino Mimer says, because it means if Mimer wasn't done, so then there's no need for Miun. And then the Gemara simply went over those 2 points, and that's where you see the circled Roman numerals. It looks like a one that's in a circle. That's Ketzad also b'maimer. And then a few lines later where you saw the circled Roman numeral number 2, that's featuring the case lo also b'maimer, which in the Gemara, that term appeared as eino mema'enes lezikoso. And that's why when that term initially appeared, we had written between the lines, im lo also b'maimer, so you see the connection between this encircled Roman numeral number 2 and that original Roman numeral number 2. On the side of the Gemara, before we continue, we have a mivne, a structural note, and you'll notice a house shape. Sidra shel mikrim she'ila she'ila, series of cases where what's the common point between all these cases? The question will arise, Haim Lachshish Likidushin, should we consider that maybe there was Kiddushin, whether a marriage took hold? So as we go on in the Gemara, bear in mind we're no longer focusing on the case of the Ketana Shikicha Atzma Shlolodasavya, but just like in that case, the issue of our considering that maybe there was a kedushin, maybe the father approved, so that concept of being cheshishli kedushin will appear several times in these cases that we've featured with the house marking. By the way, if you need to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Now the Gemara. Hano Beitre, there were two men, two fathers in fact, two men, Dahavu Koshosu Chamra Tusitsifi Bebovel. They were drinking wine, Chamra's wine, Tusi underneath Tsifi Bebovel. There are two different explanations. What Tsifi are means either under the trees or under mats that served as awnings. And they were sitting there under these trees or awnings in Bovel. Shoko Chag Minayu, Kosu the Chamra, one of them took out a cup of wine. Yoav Le Lechavre gave the cup of wine to his friend, and he declared, Omar, Mikdashali Bartech Libri, would you agree that my daughter will be married, that your daughter will be married unto my son? In other words, the speaker here is the father of the groom. The groom, the boy, the man who wants to get married, he is the one that has to give either money or something of money value. In this case, the father of the groom is doing so. And he's talking to the father of the girl. The girl is a minor, or she's a nara. She's a girl that's under the father's control. So the father of the young man says, here, take this cup of wine and let this serve as you receive it on behalf of your daughter as the Kesef Kiddushin, and she'll be married to my son. the children in this case are not aware of the discussion between these two fathers. Omar Ravina. Afilu leman de Omar, chayshinon shemon isratzoav. Even according to the opinion that we saw on Daf Mem Daled, regarding the case of the little girl that married herself off without her father's knowledge, but nevertheless, one would have to consider maybe the father subsequently approved. That's true over there. However, we continue at the top of Omid Beis. Shemon isratza haben lo aminan. In this case, we had the father of the boy offering the cup of wine on behalf of his son. What he's acting as, what he's like, he's trying to marry off his son without his son's knowledge. That no one says that the son would approve of what his father did. So there's no chashash kiddushin over here. There's no need for any concern that maybe a marriage took hold. We look at Rashi at the top line. Shemon isratza ben bekidushin shekidei shlo yoav shlo midaito lo amrinon. That, namely, Shemon isratza ben. Maybe the son approves of this marriage that the father did without that son's knowledge. And by the way, the son is not a minor. We're talking that's out of the question. Father is working with his son in mind, but the son doesn't know about it. We're not going to even consider the possibility that the son would approve. De'av bekidushe bito, when it comes to the father of a girl, and the girl acted on her own, so becholdehu nichole, the father will be happy with whatever she can get. The tov lemeitav tandu. That's a concept that we've seen already in the past. We've seen a few mesichtas. This concept that a woman is satisfied with whatever she can get. Now, I know that doesn't sound politically correct or whatever. There's a lot more depth to that. Don't take this phrase at face value, just like I said it. But for the time being, there's a different. We'll say there's a different mindset with regard to a woman's wanting to be married and to whom she would marry herself off to versus a man's mindset. So when it comes to the way we look at a girl who operated on her own and the father and how he looks at that, there's a possibility of a marriage, in fact, taking hold. I know, even though she's a minor and her actions are nothing, but the father's subsequent approval would have halachic import, avol. Gavra, when it comes to the man, in this case, we have the son whose father was trying to marry him off by offering the girl's father a cup of wine. When it comes to the man, dayik vinosiv, he is particular about whom he's marrying. Uben, eino b'shus oviv l'kadei shlo isha shlo b'shlichuso, a son is not in his father's domain with regard to finding a mate for him without the son's specific appointing of the father as an agent. That we didn't seem to see over here. So in the meantime, we have Ravina saying very clearly that in the case of a father marrying off his son without the son's intention, without the son's expressed knowledge, there is nothing to even suspect. Now, as you look on in the Gemara, you'll notice a double underlining appearing. On the side, we have a topic heading, which goes over what we said, and a structural note. Let's read these. The Nosei, Avi HaBen, Shenosan Kesev Kiddushin, Shalomi Das Beno, father of a young man who offered marriage value, marriage money, marriage value, without the son's knowledge. Shemon isratza ben lo amrinon. Velochein lo chayshishin likidushin. And therefore, there's no basis to consider even the possibility of a marriage having taken hold here. Under the Mivneh, a double underline highlights, you'll see the word Vidilma. These are Kushos Al Hanal. These are questions on what we just said. Shulai Bechozos Yesh Lachshos LeKiddushin. Maybe there is grounds for suspecting marriage. Vidilma, maybe. And the Gemara continues with raising the possibilities that maybe there is a marriage here. Let's see the questions. The Gemara. Amri Le Rabbonan Le Ravina. The Rabbonan, the other rabbis or students that were present, reacted to Ravina's point that there's no suspicion of any marriage here. There are no grounds for suspecting a marriage. Vidilma Shliach Shavya. Maybe the son had appointed the father, the one who gave over the cup of wine. Maybe the son had appointed his father as his agent. The one says, no, you don't have to suspect that. Lo chotzif inish l'shavye l'avua shaliach. People do not have the chutzpah. Here's a beautiful description of how children would relate to their parents. I don't want to say in an idyllic society, because I don't think that's what the Gemara's intention is, but sometimes it might sound like that. A son wouldn't be so bold as to appoint his father as an agent. In other words, a father doesn't work in service of a son upon the son's request. It's called chutzpah to do that. So a child is not suspected of appointing his father as his agent. Vidilma, but still, isn't there something to concern yourself with? Dilma artsuye artse kame? In order to appreciate the phrase artsuye artse kame, Rashi, fourth line from the top. Vidilma artsuye artse ben kame oviv. Vigilo lo daito shu chofetz ba. Maybe the son did something or said things to indicate his desire, his rutzon for this particular girl. And the father, understanding the son's desires, without being appointed officially an agent, vav nase loy shliach me'elof. Notice the word me'elof means on his own. Not being appointed by the son, but the father wants to act on behalf of his son to benefit his son. V'zachin l'adam shelo b'fanav. And even without formal agency, a person, in this case the father, still could work on behalf of his son to benefit his son. And that wouldn't, in this case, if the father is acting on his own volition, there's no element of chutzpah. And should we not consider that maybe that's what happened? Omar Luhu Rabo Bar Simi. Rabbo Bar Simi addressed the Rabbonan that we're asking Ravino, so Rabbo takes over and he says, Beferush Omar Mor, Ravino said explicitly, Dedo Sovar Loha de Rabu Shmuel, that Ravino does not hold by the opinions of Rav and Shmuel that we saw back on Daf Mem Dal Amud Beis. They held Choshishin Shemo Nisratza Ho'av, in the case of the minor that married herself off, they, Rav and Shmuel, considered that maybe there was a marriage because the father may have approved. Ravina doesn't think along those lines at all. And Rashi adds the main point, and that is, if you take the position against Rav and Shmuel that there's no grounds for being Choshish Shemes Ratzav, then certainly, and here, this is the point Rashi makes. You can see in the narrow lines of Rashi, about the fifth narrow line of Rashi, he says, "V'kol shekein l'shemo asoy haben shaliach Elohim kein shomanu." And all the more so, you don't suspect that maybe the son made his father an agent, or the father worked as an agent for his son, unless we heard thusly. Without hearing an official appointing of the father as an agent, yes, chutzpah, no chutzpah, but without hearing an official appointing of the father as an agent, there is nothing to suspect that a marriage has taken place, based on what we saw earlier in the Rashi, that Shemon Esratza Ben Lo Amrinon, people, men, when they get married, they basically will say they like to take care of things on their own, check out things, and we're not going to suspect that there'll be an approval of that which someone else did for them. We continue. A new case. Hahu Gavra de Kodesh Bekisha de Yarka Beshuka. You notice we have a little lettering here. Aleph, Bekisha de Yarka, and Beis Beshuka. This is a case of, once again, a Ktana, Shelo Ladasovia, a little girl without her father's knowledge, accepted marriage by offered to her by a man who offered her not money, not cash, not an expensive piece of jewelry, but rather a bundle, a cluster of vegetables. The kisha is an aguda, a bunch, diarka, vegetables. So a man offered a clump of vegetables to a little girl in the market, in the shuk. Omar Ravina. And again, you can see Ravina appearing. This helps to, let's just see, to appreciate the Gemara structure. If another case where Ravina paskins, and he opens up with a similar expression like we saw in the first case, Afilu leman diomar choshesh in shemo nisratzo av. Even according to the opinions of Rav and Shmuel that say that maybe the father approved, that not so over here. Hani mili derech kovod. That's when the little girl had accepted marriage from a man without her father's knowledge, but in a respectful or respectable way. Aval derech bizayon lo, but in an insulting fashion, the father would not approve. Omar le Rav Achomi Difti the Ravino Bizoya Demai. You say an insulting, a degrading type marriage. What element here is degrading? Bizoyon Demai. E Bizoyon Diyarka. E Bizoyon Deshuka. Is it the fact that something of such little significance was offered to her, a cluster of vegetables, that's degrading, or that it was done in such a public setting, in the market? Nafgamina, the analysis would have a practical ramification. Whether it's this, we said, is this the reason for the bizoyon or that the reason for the bizoyon? The practical ramification of this analysis would be the kodesh bekaspa b'shuka oy bekisha diyaka bebeisa. Two possibilities where we would analyze the source of the degradation. What are the two cases? One is money, something of respectability in terms of the item. You have item and place. Those are the two factors here. The item was one of respectability, offered in the shuk, offered in a public market. So that would be the bizoyon of the shuk. Oi, bekisha diyarka bebeisa, or a cluster of vegetables offered to her in a respectable location, in a house. My. So we want to know what's the source of the degradation. So if you say, for example, that it's the kisha diyarka is the source of degradation, place being irrelevant. So in the first scenario of kodesh bekaspa, well, she'd be married because there was no degradation. The source of degradation, according to that part, that side of the analysis, is the item. But if kodesh bekaspa, this item is respectable. If you say that the issue of the degradation is the location, not the item, so in case two, in kisha diyarka, okay, so it was an insignificant item that was given to her, but it was done in a respectable location, in the house. So if the degradation is based on the location, so she would be married in that case, because the house is a respectable place. So, what is it? Is it the bizoyon, the degradation, as reflected by the item or the location. Omar lay. So Ravino answers, Idi v'idi derech bizoyon hu. Both of them, meaning if you have either one as being present, you would not have to suspect that the father would have approved. So that in these two examples that we numbered one and two, in both cases, if there would be no grounds for thinking Shemon is Ratzav, even according to Rav and Shmuel. Another case. Hahu di Omar Lekrevoi, vihi Omar Lekrevo. You have again a case of a minor daughter. This is the substance of the case here is quite different. You see, of course, there's no emphasis here on Ravina. It's a brand new case, but it's the reason we have this featured in our series of cases is, as we said before, the issue is, do we consider that a marriage has taken place? What's the case now? You have something that's pretty common. A husband and wife are arguing with one another. Concerning what? Concerning who their Bito Ktana, their minor daughter, is to marry. The mother is saying, I want her to marry one of my relatives. The father is saying, I want her to marry one of my relatives. So you have husband and wife going at it concerning their daughter, their minor daughter, and the Gemara will sound very progressive maybe to some ears. The woman prevailed. Kafte, she prevailed upon him. Ad de Omar Law, until he in fact conceded to her, acquiesced to his wife, and said to Heve le Kreva, let our daughter be married to one of your relatives. So the wife has one of her relatives come into the picture, and they made a meal, festive meal, celebrating the imminent marriage. And while that meal was taking place, and I want to emphasize, before a formal offer of money from the groom, from the young man to the girl or to her father, before that took place, that's ad achli vishosi, while they were still eating and drinking, regarding this meal, as Rashi calls it, chibas chitun. It's a festive meal in anticipation of an impending marriage, and all the family came together. So when all the family came together, including members of the father's family, so Osa Kreve Beigra Vekitsha, one of his relatives came in appeared in the attic, the Aliyah Sagag, and there he met the potential bride, and he gave her money. He gave her money in Rashi says Vekitsha Beseser Vadayin Lo Kibelav Kiddushin Mikorov Shelishto, so that this relative of the father's family offered her money. Here you have a case of kiddushe ktano shelo ledas avia. What have we been saying all along in these cases? What do we consider? What do we have to think about? We have to think about shemo nisratzo av. So even before you go on in the Gemara, each one might want to put themselves to the challenge. What do you say? Do you consider that the father would be happy in this case and be in approval? I'm sure many people's first reaction would be, well, yeah, I mean, the father originally wanted this scenario. He wanted one of his own relatives to marry, and lo and behold, that's what happened here. But the Gemara will surprise those who think thusly. Not so. The father will not be happy here. Amar Abaye Ksiv. The pasuk says, Sheiris Yisrael lo yasu avlo v'lo yidabu kozov. Without a literal translation, the pasuk is saying that the Jewish people would not lie. They would not deal crookedly, and they would not lie. Now, if that's a description of the Jewish people, the father of the girl being one of them, is it not so that the father acquiesced to the mother's desires? Is it not so that the father declared, so let our daughter be married to one of your relatives, the mother's relatives? Once the father committed himself to that, that's it. The father is not going to want to let's say, back out on what he committed himself to. Therefore, Abaye is telling us, you don't have to suspect Shemo Nisratzoav. And therefore, this attic marriage is a zero. Rava is not, we'll say, he's not, we'll say, clashing with Abaye. He's going along the same direction as Abaye, but he goes in a more emphatic fashion. He says, you certainly do not have to consider the father having approved. Why not? Why is it so obvious that the father certainly wouldn't have approved? Chazoka Eidon Terech Besudo Mafsida. This father had expended efforts, physical efforts, maybe other financial efforts, to set up a meal. We had described above, they were involved with a festive meal for the girl's marriage to one of her mother's relatives. If that's not going to go through, so then the whole meal would have been set up for nothing. So once the father invested energies in setting up this festive meal for the daughter's marriage to one of the wife's relatives, one of her mother's relatives, that's it. His mind is totally committed to that. Otherwise, as we said, the meal that they're making now would be a waste. We continue in the Gemara. My Binayu, what's the difference between Abaye's analysis and Rava's analysis? Rava said, Chazokein Odom Terech Besudom Afsida. Person isn't going to expend efforts for a meal and let it go then to be a loss. So the Gemara says, if you want to know what's the difference between Abaye and Rava, Iko Binayu Delo Torach. The point of difference would arise in a case of a festive meal that the father didn't trouble over whatsoever. It was all prepared ahead of time, whether it's financially, physically. He didn't have to expend any energies or any expenditures, any efforts in setting up the meal. So, according to Abaye, the concern was, though we'll say that the svora of not being choishish was because of a person's commitment to honesty. So that same factor appears here too. The father had committed himself to the girl's marrying one of the wife's relatives, and he wouldn't back out of that because that would be treacherous, underhanded behavior on the father's part. According to Rava, the deterrent of the father from backing out was the issue of effort. Well, here he didn't expend any efforts, so the father might very well, yes, reverse his commitment to the wife, even though a festive meal was taking place, and be, in fact, in approval of what took place there in the attic with one of his relatives. Before we go on in the Gemara, I'm sure your eye caught the presence of a diamond marking, one of our series markings. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei / Mivneh heading. A diamond appears, and the note reads, Sidra shel efshorios shel kiddushin v'nisuin midas v'shelo midas ovio. im nafkamina legabi achilosa betruma. We have a series of cases, of scenarios, where you'll have a kiddushin is the first stage of marriage, nisuin is the consummation of the marriage. Marriage, in terms of the Gemara, we've always analyzed it as a two-stage procedure. In contrast to what we have today, in practical terms, you don't see the two stages, even though technically speaking we also have two stages, but in the time of the Gemara, the Mishnah and the Gemara, there were two distinct stages. So the first stage, the Kiddushin stage, where a man offers her the money or something of value in exchange for her agreeing to marry him, that's the Kiddushin. We're going to be speaking about Shelo Midas Ovia, and we'll talk also about Nisuin. Nisuin is where the couple completes their marriage by going to the marriage canopy, and then after that the husband and wife live together in intimacy. That's Nisuin. The issue will come up if a Kohen is the groom. Can the Ketana, can the little girl, eat from Truma? She's coming from a non-Kohen family. Truma is the tithe given to and exclusively permitted to Kohanim alone. When we say Kohanim, Kohanim and their wives and their heathen slaves, their animals. The Gemara. Niskatsho Ladas Oviha. A kiddushin took place with her father's awareness. In other words, you've got a full-fledged kiddushin. The holach oviyo leMedina Siam, and the father then went abroad. V'yomda v'niseis, and she on her own completed the marriage. Niseis, she entered nisuin, the marriage canopy, without her father's awareness. He, after all, went leMedina Siam. We've dashed underline the Medina Siam so as to contrast this with later on cases where the father is present. But in the meantime, the father is not around when she entered the marriage canopy. Maybe just a word of introduction. Rashi points this information out. There's a Torah level and a rabbinic level. On the Torah level, once Kiddushin takes place, even though the girl, the wife, hasn't moved in to live with her husband, she is entitled to eat Truma. On a rabbinic level, Kiddushin alone does not entitle her to eat Truma. She needs to enter the chuppah. She needs to consummate the marriage in order for her to be entitled to eat Truma. Again, we're talking about a girl, a non-Kohen from a non-Kohen family, marrying a Kohen. Omar Rav. So in this case, where the Ketana got married with her father's awareness, the Kiddushin took place with his awareness, the Nisuin, though, without his awareness. So Omar Rav, Oicheles Betruma, she is entitled to eat Truma. She's entered Nisuin with the Kohen. She's entitled to eat Truma ad shiyavo aviyo vimche, until her father comes back and protests. We take a look at Rashi, Oicheles Betruma. Rashi, more or less across from here, says, im kayenhu, if the husband is a kayen, even though the chuppah, which is the occasion that entitles her to eat truma, even though it was done without her father's awareness, the rabbis ruled, it's a rabbinic ruling, that a woman is restricted from eating truma until she enters chuppah with her kohen husband. In this case, according to Rav, since the Kiddushin was with the father's awareness, so Chupanami Nichole Ad Shenishma Shiyavo Vimche. So therefore, the Chuppah is also assumed to be with the father's happiness, with his approval. After all, the Kiddushin was with his approval. The Chuppah too will assume to be with his approval until he comes and specifically says otherwise, or I should say explicitly says otherwise. Rav Asi Omar Eino Oicheles. Rav Asi, as you can see in the Gemara, we've underlined his name in contrast with Rav, says that she's not entitled to eat truma. Why? Shemo Yovo Aviyav Yimchev. The father might return and protest. V'nimtzeis Zora Oicheles B'truma L'mafreya. And then, had she been eating truma from the point of the Kiddushin, and now the father comes later on to protest, so retroactively all the truma she was eating was forbidden to her. Have uvda, there was in fact a story, an incident like this, where there was kiddushin l'da'as avia, then the husband went l'bnei'as hayam, v'chosh lo rav l'ha dravasi, and Rav ruled in a restrictive fashion, not entitling her to eat truma, like Rav Asi. Omar Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak Umoide Rav. Rav, who originally was lenient with regard to truma, in the case of Niskach L'das Avia and the father then went abroad, Rav originally represented, we'll say, the lenient opinion, even though in practical terms he ruled like Rav Asi in applied halacha, but on the theoretical level, Rav was lenient. So Rav Shmuel says, even Rav, who was lenient, will concede she'imesa eino yorsha. If she dies, the issue comes up of her husband's rights to inheriting his wife. On a strictly, let's say, halachic level, a man is not entitled to inherit his wife until after they consummated their marriage, not from the kiddushin stage. In our case, she entered a marriage canopy, but without the father's awareness. Is that considered a nisuin? So Rav says it might be considered a nisuin with regard to her being able to eat truma, as Rav said on the theoretical level, but that entrance to the chuppah is not going to entitle the husband here, in the event that she dies, to inherit her. Why not? After all, there is an element of doubt. And when you have an element of doubt regarding money matters, as is the case here, will the husband inherit her? We say, uki mamona becheskas merei. We call maintain the status quo. You leave the money in the possession of its owner. That means that the money that the wife had is going to remain, we'll say, in her, even she's dead, but it would remain in her domain. And in practical terms, the husband, even Rav, will concede, is not entitled to inherit her. Even though the chuppah that we described, the chuppah shelo l'das avia, entitled her to eat truma, according to Rav, it would not entitle the husband to inherit her in the event that she dies after this chuppah shelo midas avia. Niskatsho l'das, a new case. Kiddushin took place with awareness. V'niseis shelo l'das. And the chuppah, the nisuin, took place without her informing her father. V'aviyakan. Now here, we dashed on the line v'aviyakan so that you notice this is the difference between the case before and the present case. We had a case above of where there was kiddushin l'das avia, and the chuppah was shelo midaito, However, in the previous case, the father went abroad. In this case, the father is in town. Rav Huna Omar, Eino Oicheles. This chuppah that was Shelo Lidas, and the father's in town, she's not entitled to eat truma. Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba Amar Ocheles, and now the Gemara goes over the opinions. You can see we've dashed under the Rav Huna, and a few lines after that, about 3-4 lines later, you see Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba also dashed under lines. So the Gemara will present each one of these opinions and showing how far each one goes in their thinking. Rav Huna Amar Eino Ocheles, Vafilu LeRav Diomar Ocheles. Even according to Rav, who we saw in the previous diamond case. That was the case of Niskatsha, Ledas Aviv, Och Aviv, and Nisayam. Rav said in that case, she's able to eat Truma. Afilu l'Rav Yomar Ocheles. Hosam, who, in that case, the chuppah that was Shalom Midas Aviv, entitles her to eat Truma, to lo isei l'Av. The father is simply not around. So the fact that the father is not around, and you can combine with that the idea of the kiddushin being done with the father's approval. So in where Rav says she's entitled to eat truma, hasamhu delo isei lav. The father is simply not around at the time of the chuppah, but aval hacha di isei lav, here where the father is present, hi, and he's aware of the chuppah. It just wasn't done with his instruction. Hi, the ishtik, his silence, mirsach rosach, is a function of his boiling internal wrath. So that Rav Huna, who says ein ocheles, is saying, I'm saying ein ocheles, even according to Rav, that in the previous case entitled her to eat. Not so over here, because the father is here, he's remaining quiet, he is totally upset with this marriage. So she's not entitled to eat truma. She's a minor, she doesn't have power to marry herself off. And Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba Amar Ocheles, Rav Yirmiyahu takes the opposite approach, that in the case where the kiddushin was Ledas Aviyah and Nisei Shelo Ledaito, that Nisei Shalodaito entitles her to eat. Va'afilu l'Ravasi, even according to Ravasi, once again a reference to Ravasi in the previous diamond case, the Omar Eino Ocheles, in the above case, Ravasi took the restrictive approach, where in the case of the father had gone, l'binyan Sayam, and then she entered the chuppah. Even Ravasi says, Eino Ocheles, hosam hu, there, he is restrictive. To Shema Yavo of Yav Yimche. Look, the father was away when she went into the chuppah. He might come back and protest. And if he protested, then retroactively, she had no right to be eating any truma. Aval hacha, midashosik. In this case, where the father was in town, she went to chuppah without his expressed approval. But he is aware, and he remained silent. That silence is snuche isnechole, is a silence of approval. It's noach, it's pleasant to him that she is consummating her marriage. And therefore, Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba says, even according to Rav Asi, she, in this case, where the father is in town, when she's entering the marriage canopy, she is entitled to eat from the truma. Niskatsha shelo ledasavia. You'll notice with our markings, in addition to the diamond, we've also dashed on the line shelo. We want to just draw your attention to that. Shelo, because that's a departure from the cases above. Here we have a case now of kiddushin without her father's awareness. Veniseis shelo ledaito ledas. Veniseis shelo ledas. Vilvia kan. And the girl's entrance to the marriage canopy was also without his awareness or without his approval, and the father is here in town. So awareness there is, but we don't have approval. We don't have any expressed approval. Rav Huna Omar Oicheles. Did we see Rav Huna in any of the earlier cases? You bet. In the previous diamond, Rav Huna spoke up. Does your eye catch Rav Huna in the previous case? Notice he said, Eino Ocheles. Here, and we should also emphasize that in the previous diamond, Ofiel Kan. So too over here, we have the father is here when the chuppah is taking place. Just without his being informed. Rav Huna says, she can eat. Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba, Omar, Eino Ocheles. Again, there's a reversal with regard to his sheet as well. Namely, but whereas before he said Ocheles here, he'll say Eino Ocheles. Omar Ula. Ha de Rav Huna. Rav Huna's position here is a very difficult, frustrating position to accept. And in order to convey that, he cites the pasuk, it's like vinegar on one's gums and like smoke in one's eyes. Something painful. What's bothering Ula? Hashto ma hosam de kiddushi de raiso. Mind you, in the case above, where it was niskatcha ladas, we have kiddushin on a Torah level. It was, as the Gemara said, niskatcha ladas. Her marriage was with her father's awareness, her father's approval. So you have Kiddushe Doraisa. And yet, Amris Lo Achla, in that case, the three diamonds ago, in that case, two diamonds ago, where Rav Huna said, even though there was Kiddushin Doraisa, a real Torah level initial marriage bond, and you, Amris, you, Rav Huna, said, Lo Achla, Hacha, Lo Kol Shekein, here, all the more so, you should be ruling that she should not be allowed to eat from the Truma. And Ula therefore goes on to say at the top of Daf Mem Vav, Nirin Divrei Talmud. Talmud is a reference to Rabbi Yirmi Vaba, who was a student of Rav Huna. So that Ula says, I prefer Rav Yirmiyah's approach. As you can see in this case, it was Niskatsha Shaloda Asaviyah. The father was not aware, and he wasn't aware of the kiddushin. Nisuin, the chuppah did not take place with his being informed. So she doesn't eat from the truma. That's Ula's ruling. We need to explain Rav Huna though. Before we saw where there was a kiddushin d'oraisa, a Torah level marital bond between the Kohen and this minor girl wife of his, and there Rav Huna said she's not entitled to eat. Here with the kiddushin, at the very initial stage of the marriage, you don't have a Torah level bond you don't have it in a definitive way. If the father was not informed, how in the world can Rav Huna say over here that she is entitled to eat from the Truma? So we continue in the Gemara, Omar Rava, Mai Taima de Rav Huna. What's the basis of Rav Huna? Answer, Hayol Vinase Ba Maisi Yasaima Bechayo Av. Rashi. Second line from the top, Hayol Vinase Ba Maisi Yasaima Bechayo Av. Bechayov Kidsha Vihisiyo Atzma. While the father was alive, this little girl did the kiddushin, did the nisuin on her own, shalola daita, without his being informed. Ki'ilu he is soima, as if she was an orphan. She's acting totally on her own. The hu ra'a v'shasak, and the father was aware, as we mentioned in the case of Yotan, he was aware and he kept quiet. his powers that the Torah vests in him with regard to his daughter. Oy shtikosoy hoida, or his silence is in fact an expression of his approval. I can understand, Rav Huna, in the previous case where the marriage, the initial marriage, was with the father's approval, and the nisuin was without. With a one-stage silence, the father is boiling up inside, and he's that's his disapproval. And that's why, in the previous case, Rav Huna ruled that she is not to eat. Avokule hai, lo shosik, but a father wouldn't remain silent so much, both at the kiddushin stage and the nisuin stage. So as we said before, it must be because he is improving, he's approving of it, or as it was mafkir ischus in her. So therefore, over here, Rav Huna can say, she eats. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading, which reads, Ktana shenizkatsha shelo ledas avia, a minor that married herself off without her father's instruction, without informing her father. Machlikis Rav Ravasi, there we'll see a disagreement between Rav and Ravasi. Im hi yechilu le'akev, can she back out? Kedem she isratza avia, before her father expresses his approval. It's true she accepted the marriage. Can she now undo what she did? The Gemara itmar ketana shenizkatsha shelo ledas avia. The little girl accepted marriage without informing her father. Amar Rav, bein hi bein aviha yecholim la'akev. The girl or her father can resist, can back out. Rashi says just a couple lines up from her, yecholim la'akev hoyo ubishas kabola, since at the time she received the money or the money value from the groom, Loi Nisratzehav, the father had not expressed approval at that moment. Im Bosa Lachser Kedim Shisratzehav, if she comes to back out before the father expresses his approval, Choseris Velo Mahan Yesu Ritzehav, and if that happens, if she backs out, any subsequent approval of the father will not have any effect. There's no marriage. She backed out. That's Rav's approach. We continue in the Gemara. Ravasi Omar Ovio Velohi. As far as who has the power to back out, only the father. Not she. What she did, she did. She committed herself, so to speak. She can't back out of what she did. Esve Ravuno Leravasi. And another version of names. Viamri Lo Chio Barav Leravasi. Ravasi, who said she has no backing out powers, well, they, one of those, either Rav Huna or Chibarav, now challenge Ravasi. We have a source. The source cites a pasuk that comes from the topic in the Torah dealing with seduction. A girl, a minor or nara, is subjected to pitui, mefate, and in a case like that, there's an expectation that the seducer would marry the girl. However, the father can say, I don't want the marriage to take place. So the pasuk says, im mo'ein yemo'ein oviha. If the father resists, so then the Torah speaks about the seducer having to pay 50 pieces of silver because of what he did, because of the seduction. Ein li elo aviha. This idea of being able to resist, to disapprove of that marriage taking place. I see the Torah refers to the father. That's what it says black on white. It says, Yomein aviha. He atzmo minayin. What about the girl? Also, her ability to resist the marriage, to express her disapproval of marrying the seducer. How do we know she too has a say? Talmud Lomar, im mo'ein, yimo'ein, mikomokom. The double expression includes her as well. What do we see here? We see that the girl, and again, we're talking about when the Torah describes the case of Mefate, you're dealing with a young girl. And you see that the Torah vests her with the power of resisting the marriage. As we go on in the Gemara, the next number of lines, you'll notice quite a few triangle shapes that appear in alternating directions. On the side of the Gemara, we have under our Mivneh, the structural note, Shimush b'mishuloshim, the use of these triangles, k'dei la'akiv achamalcha Gemara, in order to keep track of the progression of the Gemara. With the point facing up, k'mo divrei Rav, that would be in favor of what Rav is going to say. And the flipped over triangle is against what he's going to say. So in the meantime, we have a challenge presented to Rav Asi, where we see the minor, the girl, can object to the marriage. Omar luhu Rav. Now, by the way, Rav was the one that said that the girl also has a say in the case of the Ketanish Niskashilu Dasavio. This source, on a superficial level, would appear to be positive for Rav's position. And as the Gemara itself suggested, we were raising the source as a kasha on Ravasi. Ravasi disagreed with Rav, so you would think that Rav would be happy with this. And yet, you know, the Talmud is the ultimate in, we'll say, seeking the truth, emes. So Rav says, Omar luhu Rav, lo tezlu boser ibcha. If you're raising questions on Ravasi, don't pursue a source that could actually be flipped around. In other words, you're trying to use this as a source of question on Ravasi's position. Yochol lishnuya luhu, he could easily answer you that which she is able to be memayin, kagon shepito shelo lishum ishus. The case here was that the seduction was done without any marriage intent. So where there's no marriage intent, okay, that's something she can express her, she can stop the marriage from taking place. That's very different than the case of a ktana shiniskacha shalola das aviyah. There was a kiddushin with a marriage intent. The Gemara asks in wonderment, you're saying, you're emphasizing this aspect of shalola shumishus, pita shalola shumishus kroboy. Do I need the pasuk in the Torah? Imoy and yomein aviyah, we have the pasuk in the source. And the Pusik is telling us that the father can object to the marriage. That's what the Pusik says, black on white, that the father can object. Do I need a Pusik to tell me that where there was seduction without any marriage intent, that the father can object? Obvious, it's push it. It's obvious that the father and certainly she, Rashi says across her crowboy, Lamema Dovio Yochalakev, I should say Vachain he, and likewise she, Mehecha Tesilon La Isra, Bahi Beila Lamema Kishin. Where would you even think to say that there should be any marriage with that act of seduction, an act of seduction without any marriage intent? Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. So notice we have the triangle with the point facing up, and Rav Nachman offers an explanation for the source maintaining the idea of Shelo L'shem Ishus, but the point of the pasuk isn't to tell me that they can resist. That's true. That is obvious. So what's the point of the source? It says Lomar Shemeshalem Knas Kemefute. We take a look at Rashi. Omar Rav Nachman Lomar Shemeshalem Knas Kemefute. Kra the pasuk Lav Lashmin and Hetera Itzderich. Pasuk isn't coming to tell us that she is Muteres. Ella, she can marry anyone she wants. Ella, Lashmina Dechima Akva Ihi. All the pasuk is telling me is that in the event that she does not want to go through with the marriage, Nami Mishalem Knas Kedin Mifuta Shetola Hakosuv Knosa Bemiun Ha'av Hachi Nami Toli Bemiun Dida. All the pasuk is coming to tell me when we say we're coming to add to include her. Just like when the father does not want the girl who was his daughter that was seduced to marry the seducer, on which occasion the seducer has to pay the money, so too when she objects to the marriage, the seducer has to pay the father the money. Omar le Rav Yosef I hachi. Rav Yosef is coming to us substantiate, to confirm that which Rav Nachman Yitzchok said. He says, I hachi, if that be the case, then hainu de tanina, the following Tanaic source will make sense. That we're talking about a case of pitui shelo l'shomeshus. Shelo l'shem ishus, seduction without any marital intent. The pasuk says, "Mohor yimarena lo leisha shetzricha heimenu kiddushin." That in that case of seduction, in the Torah case, if a marriage is going to take place, he, the seducer, will have to pay kiddushin money. Now, the impita l'shum ishus, if the original seduction was with a marital intent, then kiddushin lamali, why would you need to have some kind of additional act of marriage? The intimacy at the time of the seduction would have been the mechanism of establishing the marriage. Why does the Torah say, yimahorim reno lo isha, that he, the seducer, has to pay kiddushin money? So it shows you that the original seduction was like Rav explained, that it was a pitui shelo l'shemushus. There was no marital intent during that initial stage of seduction. Therefore, a subsequent kiddushin is necessary to establish a marital bond. Omar le Abaye. Abaye contradicts this, or resists, he disagrees. I will tell you that there was pitui l'shem ishus, that the seducer had a marital intent. So you'll ask then, what do I need an additional kiddushin for? Tzricha kiddushin l'dasavia. The necessity of a second kiddushin is so that the kiddushin is with the father's approval. So after all said and done, you can see we had a give and take in the Gemara. We had a kasha raised against Ravasi, where we saw the girl herself could object to the marriage. Rav attempted to say that isn't going to be a strong question on Ravasi, because there we were talking about a case of pitui shelo l'shem ishus, where there's no marital intent, so the girl can back out, can resist. But in the case of Ketanish Niskatsho Shalola Dasavia, where there was marital intent, it might very well be like Rav Asi said, she cannot resist. As far as Rav's interpretation of that source as being a case of Pitui Shalola Shem Ishus, that is really, that's not conclusive. And that you can see by the fact that at the end of this give and take in the Gemara, you were left with an inverted triangle in the opposite direction of what Rav originally had said. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.